Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to talk a little bit about Tesla's earnings report. We do finally have a date. We've also got an updated note from Goldman Sachs about their expectations heading into earnings and the following years. We'll talk a bit about that update. Then we've also got some news out of China, a couple stories there, an update on 4680 battery production, Tesla Energy, a couple other things as well. Quick look at the markets, not the best day for growth stocks today. Tesla finishing down 2.5% to $668.54. That compared to the NASDAQ down 0.4%. All right, so we got a couple of pieces of news late last night. First up, we do finally have an earnings date scheduled for Tesla's Q2 earnings report and conference call. That date will be Monday, July 26th, after market close. Generally, the earnings report and shareholder letter comes out within 30 minutes or so of market close, and then Tesla will be holding an earnings call at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time. That'll be 9:30 p.m. UTC. So as I usually do, before earnings, I'll put out my preview episode. And then on the day of earnings, I'll put out a quick recap before the call of how the actuals came in, and I'll stream the call so we can listen together as usual. When we do get these earnings dates, sometimes people like to speculate on if it gives us any indication of how the earnings are going to be, because generally if a company has good news, they want to get that out. If they have bad news, they're not as urgent. For what it's worth, I'm not taking anything like that away from this date. For those of you that have been listening to a couple of live streams that I've had when we've talked about this topic, this is the date that I was expecting the most. Tesla used to report earnings on the third fiscal Wednesday following quarter close. Last quarter, that ended up shifting to a Monday for the first time. People were thinking maybe it was because of a conflict with the SpaceX event, but with this report now coming on Monday as well, I think it's clear that Tesla has just changed their schedule to start off 2021. So I expect Mondays going forward. I think this is just a part of the normal schedule, so I'm not reading into it in terms of the results. As for expectations, it looks like analysts are currently expecting non-GAAP earnings per share of 94 cents for Q2. That would be a new record, but only up slightly from Q1. Q1 EPS was 93 cents per share on a non-GAAP basis. Seems like a pretty low bar with deliveries being up 9%, right? But remember that Q1 did have a tailwind of $100 million profit from Bitcoin, and Q2 has a headwind of about that same amount. We'll talk much more about all of those details in the earnings preview episode, but just for more context, last year Tesla posted non-GAAP earnings per share of 44 cents. Sticking with earnings for a little bit longer, we did also last night get an updated note from Goldman Sachs sharing some of their expectations for earnings and a couple of thoughts on China. They are maintaining their $860 price target and their buy rating, but they do say, quote, "We are raising our EPS estimates for 2021, 2022/2023, driven by higher pricing in 2021 and higher units in 2022 and 2023, primarily on Model Y, as Tesla has released a new lower cost version of the Model Y in China, made Model Y available in Europe out of the China factory, and as the three new factories Tesla is ramping are all focused on the Model Y. These positive changes are partly offset by a lower estimate of revenue from regulatory credits," end quote. So for Q2, they seem to be right in line with consensus. They're estimating 94 cents earnings per share non-GAAP basis. That's up from 84 cents previously. And for the full year, they expect $5 non-GAAP earnings per share on 875,000 deliveries. Knowing Q1 actuals and their Q2 forecast, that would leave $3.13 non-GAAP earnings per share for the second half. As for the full year next year, they expect $6.50 non-GAAP earnings per share. That's slightly ahead of consensus, but in my opinion, quite a bit too low. They don't give non-GAAP for 2023, but on a GAAP earnings per share basis, they have increased their estimates here. So for 2021, they've gone up from $2.55 to $2.80. For next year, up from $4.05 to $4.30. And then 2023 up from $4.50 to $4.75. Again, that's a GAAP basis, so that includes stock-based compensation. That's the only difference for Tesla. And if you're ever looking at a PE ratio on Yahoo Finance or Google Finance or whatever, they're going to use that GAAP earnings per share. So if Tesla stock were to, for example, go up to their price target of $860 and stay there through 2023 on $4.75 earnings per share, that'd give a PE ratio of about 180. Again, my earnings expectations are higher. So they've increased their expectations here, and yet the price target still remains the same, as I mentioned. They do say that, quote, "Our 12-month price target remains $860 and is based on 14 times from 15 times prior, given the recent pullback in valuations for auto companies applied to enterprise value over Q5 to Q8 revenue," end quote. Q5 to Q8 revenue, just a fancier way of saying next year's revenue. So we've talked about cases like this with analyst updates over the last few months a few times, where analysts have held their forecast but lowered their price target, or actually increased their forecast and held the price target the same, like Goldman Sachs is doing here. This demonstrates why price targets really don't mean all that much, because whatever multiple gets assigned has just as big of an impact as the underlying forecast, because multiples can fluctuate a ton based on the macro environment and or the outlook for growth at the end of whatever period the analyst is forecasting through. Point being, it can be a little bit arbitrary, a little bit difficult to argue with, but does have a big impact on what the price target ends up being. Anyway, for Goldman Sachs here, what they have done is increase their forecasts, so they've added earnings per share into their model from Tesla's core business, but they're actually suppressing the price target by removing some regulatory credit revenue, which obviously falls straight to the bottom line, and they've reduced their multiple. If they had just kept the same multiple, which it's a little bit weird to reduce it, even though they're increasing their growth forecasts, then this price target, by their own math, would have gone up to about $920 per share. And if they had left regulatory credit revenue the same, which I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, just demonstrating the point, if they had left that, then the price target would probably be closer to $1,000. So I'm not pointing that out to say that anything is wrong with the methodology or that there's anything nefarious with this note. More so, I just think it's a good example of some of the inherent problems with price targets and why the price targets by themselves tend to really not mean all that much. The actual underlying forecast is much more important to me. Anyway, beyond earnings, they do also talk about the situation in China. As we've talked about in the past, Goldman Sachs likes to look at Tesla app downloads. They summarize that here by saying, quote, Tesla app download data suggests overall demand remains solid in China and is up meaningfully year over year, end quote. So they show the data and definitely fewer downloads in Q2 than in Q1, but growth in downloads from April into June. You may notice the large spikes in January both years here. Goldman Sachs says that they think that's probably because of Chinese New Year that happens in either late January or early February, but I think it's probably more related to Tesla actually beginning deliveries of the Model 3 and the Model Y. I think kind of the other notable spike that you see in there is October 2020. That was when Tesla introduced the lower priced lithium iron phosphate standard range Model 3 and cut the price on the long range. Those were about 10% reductions. I expect if and when we see this data again, we'll see a pretty big spike in July as well because of the standard range Model Y. Speaking of, there are some rumors out of China on the orders for the standard range Model Y. This from Moneyball on Twitter has been a good source in the past. I've seen this a couple other places as well, but apparently a Tesla Beijing sales consultant has said that on the first day, Tesla got more than 10,000 orders, on the second day, more than 5,000, and that deliveries are moving into end of August or September. Which I didn't really report on yesterday because obviously if Tesla introduces a lower price model, it's going to get a lot of orders right away. But someone here actually asked if that was total China or just Beijing, and Dekirk did say just Beijing. I'm not putting a ton of weight in that, almost none, but did think it was interesting enough to at least pass along, and it did fit the topic here. The other really interesting detail to come out of China on the standard range Model Y is that it does now look confirmed to use a lithium iron phosphate pack, which we did suspect, but remember, Tesla says on the Chinese design studio that the Model Y has 525 kilometers of range for the standard range version. That's 12% more than the standard range Model 3, despite the Model Y being a larger vehicle overall. Yes, that is the NEDC rating, not a realistic rating, but the importance is the comparison between the two. As for the energy capacity, it looks like the Model Y pack is around 60 kilowatt hours. Moving on from current batteries to future batteries, it looks like we've got an update here on progress on 4680 battery cells from Samsung and LG. The Korean Herald reporting that, quote, Samsung SDI and LG Energy Solution have finished developing samples of larger and more powerful 4680 battery cells, a type first presented by Tesla last year, in an apparent effort to win contracts from the global electric vehicle leader, a source said Tuesday, end quote. They go on to say that a high-ranking industry official with knowledge of the situation has told them that both Samsung and LG are currently conducting various tests at their facilities to verify structural integrity, and that they have provided specifications for the 4680 cells to their vendors. So that does sound like progress, tough to say exactly how much because it does sound like they're still testing some things, but they must be feeling relatively confident if they have provided specs to their vendors. So that's Samsung and LG, and then of course last month we had heard from Panasonic say that they're ready to make a large investment for 4680 cells if the prototype production line that they're working on is successful. All right, next up, we've got a few pieces of news on Tesla Energy. We'll start off with Tesla Solar. Tesla has introduced a new 420-watt solar panel. That's about 25% more watts than the current 340-watt panel that Tesla is offering. However, it's not a more efficient panel, so the additional wattage comes from more surface area per panel rather than increased efficiency for the panel. So the theory behind that is that fewer panels could potentially make the install a little bit easier, cheaper, faster, fewer parts, which would definitely still be a win. This is just the latest little tweak to Tesla's solar business. Of course, as we talked about, I don't know, maybe a month or two back, Tesla had introduced 0.99% 10-year financing. So it'll be interesting to see how the solar business tracks over the rest of the year. And hey, if you are going to order Tesla Solar, my referral code is down in the description. On the energy storage side of the business, we got some rare insight into the Powerwall today as Elon Musk continued to testify in that SolarCity lawsuit. During his testimony, he said that Tesla has demand for about 80,000 units of Powerwall, but that Tesla's only going to be able to produce maybe 30 to 35,000 best case in Q3. To put some context around those numbers, Tesla said in May that they had just surpassed 200,000 Powerwall installs globally. That was after announcing hitting 100,000 installs sometime in Q1 last year. That means that over the last year, Tesla's been doing about 20,000 to 25,000 installations per quarter. So that production number of 30 to 35,000 best case isn't too surprising. That's kind of in line with where Tesla has been. But Elon apparently did say that chip shortages were impacting that production number. As for the demand side, about 80,000 units ordered, I would say that is quite strong, especially considering that you can't actually order a standalone Powerwall anymore these days. It has to be combined with solar. Oh, and a lot of locations, you can't even order a Powerwall. In Milwaukee, for example, if I put in my address, Tesla just says that we'll contact you when solar and Powerwalls are available in your area. So really strong demand, that's probably somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion of backlog. We've also got another curious little rumor here on energy storage. We're again going back to Reddit. The mighty Fuji, as we talked about yesterday, seems to work at Fremont. Had a lot of thoughts on the signed battery pack that we talked about. Anyway, this person was asked if there are any non-automotive products with plans to use the 4680 that they know about, and they replied saying, "Ooh, good question. Everyone else always focuses so much on the vehicles on these Tesla subreddits. First time I've heard someone mention 4680 applications that aren't mobile. I can't comment on future products, but I can say that I will be even busier very soon. It will suck for me, but 65.6% of you will love it. The rest will be jealous." Somebody on the Tesla Motors Club forum was then sharp enough to realize that that 65.6% number matches exactly with the latest home ownership rate reported by the US Census Bureau. So it definitely seems like a strong hint at a next generation Powerwall, which isn't all that surprising, but exciting to see it talked about in this way. All right, last thing here, just a couple of Elon Musk tweets that I had in my notes yesterday and I just kind of skipped over them. First one here on the new visualizations, which I also meant to mention yesterday, are showing car brake lights for the first time. Elon saying, quote, "It will soon capture turn signals, hazards, ambulance/police lights, and even hand gestures," end quote. That's awesome to hear, I think especially on the police lights thing. Elon was asked about when it would be able to react to that, and he said, quote, "Action will follow recognition soon thereafter. Also, call will listen for sirens and alarms," end quote. I think he means car there. And about the cars being capable of hearing, he said, quote, "Not yet, but they will. It's needed for full self-driving," end quote. Obviously, that's something that would be helpful, but it's interesting to see Elon classify that as needed. As for how the car would hear, well, it can hear voice commands. Obviously, there is a microphone in the car. Yeah, it's internal, but so are your ears when you're driving around. So that may be all that Tesla needs. People have talked about, oh, well, if there's music playing, that maybe it can't hear things. Well, same case for a human driver. And if the vehicle is what's playing the music, it should be able to theoretically understand what sounds it's making versus what sounds are external. But there are obviously challenges associated with that as well. Teslas do have an external speaker, at least recently produced Teslas do. And speakers can actually be used as microphones, but maybe not the best quality, and also challenges with that in terms of being able to actually use it for its intended purpose of being a speaker if you're trying to use it as a microphone. So it'll be interesting to see how Tesla approaches that. My bet is on the internal microphones. Anyway, sorry for leaving those out yesterday, but wanted to make sure that we did discuss those tweets. That'll wrap it up for today, though. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, July 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.